What's up? What's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk with Sam podcast. Man, we got a great one for you guys today. I get a chance to talk to the very funny, hilarious stand-up comedian, actor. You can catch him on TV Land's Lopez, as well as Last Comic Standing, and various comedy performances. My man, Maranzio Vance. Yes, we get into it in this podcast where it's actually one of my favorite podcasts in a very long time. Maranzio was here doing a show here at Mark Ridley's Comedy Club. We got a chance to just sit down and shoot the breeze. Two people who can just sit down and talk, and we just get into it. Song playing in the background is Lord off the great album we bonded over, the Anonymous Nobody, by the great De La Soul. So we're going to get into all of that. We're going to listen to a great conversation between one of the funniest people that you need to know off rip. Like I said, you can catch him on Lopez. And please follow up with all things Maranzio Vance at his website, MaranzioVanceOnline.com. He may be playing a city near you. You can see him on Twitter at Maranzio Vance. And I will make sure that he gives his social media information at the start of the finish of the podcast. And I also post it on our Facebook page and all of our stuff. Great dude. Great conversation. Let's get into this podcast, man. But before we do, I want to, you know, just say thanks to all the people who went to my website, samshownation.com, hitting that donate button at the homepage of the podcast. On the homepage of current promotions page, if you don't know already, at samshownation.com, it's a donate button. Give whatever makes you feel like a good person. All of it goes back into this podcast, and we make it a bigger, greater podcast. And we get down and we talk as we do. Yeah, I mean, this has always been a crowdsourced podcast, and it depends on viewers like you, so, or listeners like you, I guess. And it's always been a great thing. If you want a little bang for your buck, you want to support the podcast, the best way you can do it, the quickest way to do it, tell a friend. Tell a friend, hey, go to samshownation.com. Check his stuff out. It's great. Or maybe you want a little bang for your buck, you can always go to samshownation.com. Hit the store. You can wear your love. You can get t-shirts. You can get hats. You can get all types of Sam Tronation swag. You can walk down the street and you can show your love to the podcast. Or you can always hit the podcast link at samshownation.com. However you listen to podcasts, we're usually there, whether it be Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iTunes, good old RSS, or you can always go to samshownation.com, hit the podcast link, and listen to it right there. We do have a few promotions this week from our great, great sponsors. The first one are the good folks at Reebok.com. Now available, the JJ1 trainer. Yes, it is football season. I like JJ Watt personally, and his shoe's not bad either. But Reebok wants you to know it's getting around that time. We know it's football season. Maybe you don't want JJ. Maybe you just want to shop for Reebok. Hey, maybe it's getting a little cold outside. Maybe you want to hit that gym up again. You need some good stuff to wear. Look no further than the good folks at Reebok. It's better than But on top of that, what's better than receiving Reebok stuff in the mail? How about getting it shipped for free? Yes. All my people getting anything from SamShowNation.com, anything Reebok, whether that be the Reebok CrossFit, the Spartan Race, the UFC sponsor stuff, Reebok, whatever you could get from Reebok.com, go to SamShowNation.com, click that Reebok link. You can get free 2-day shipping on all Reebok.com orders, $125 or more by putting in the offer code QUICKSHIP. You may want to hurry up on this because this offer expires November 1st. Yes, it's quick ship for all orders, $25 or more. Or, hey, you spend over $200 via SamShowNation.com. Hit that link, the Reebok link. What? You get free overnight shipping by putting in the code, you guessed it, overnight. All one word. This is only good till the November 1st, so you may want to get a move on. So please go to samshownation.com and visit our good folks at Reebok.com. Get some free shipping. The next sponsor is the good folks at Walmart. Walmart wants you to head on down to their Daily Savings Center. By getting your hottest offers for today, every day, go to SamShowNation.com. Click that promo code with current promotions. Ooh, I know. Current promotions button. And you can see the Daily Savings Center and see the highest values for that day in particular. They have all the best stuff that you can dare to compare. They won't be beat. You can have it shipped right to your house. All orders shipped. Anything over $50 gets shipped for free. Or you can always pick it up for free at your local Walmart. You can set it for in-store pickup, and you can pick it up as soon as that day. Only thing you got to do, go to SamShowNation.com, click the Walmart link, visit their Daily Savings Center, and shop as you normally would. Hey, maybe something isn't on the Daily Savings Center. You can always look it up in their search bar, and you can get it as soon as that day with their free in-store pickup right there at Walmart. So please go to SamShowNation.com, hit the Walmart link, and find your Daily Savings Center. Your hottest offers for today. And last and certainly not least, the good folks at Amazon.com. You guessed it. It is the internet. You're going to shop at Amazon. I don't care who you are. Maybe you like me. You're getting your t-shirt game stepped up. Maybe you need a Kindle Fire. Maybe you need an iron. You just need an iron. You want to iron your stuff. Who knows? Maybe you need some stuff for home improvement. Maybe you need a saw. I don't know what you need, but I'm pretty sure Amazon got it. They got everything from A to Z. The only thing we actually do is go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link on the homepage, current promotions page, and shop as you normally would. By doing that, you guys get what you need, support the podcast, and everything is awesome. Speaking of awesome, let's talk to our guest, Mr. Maranzio Vance. We'll talk in about 90 seconds. See you then. This is Just Talk with Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam Podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this like right now. Seriously.
Right with you on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious if the audience listening, we never write this out.
Need to do that.
See, are we already recording?
We're starting.
We're talking. We're talking about the technicalities of the podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Maranzio, thanks so much for being on my show.
People know who the fuck I am?
Well, yeah. I give like an intro in the beginning of this. So, like.
You're going to do it before?
Yeah. Like, before I introduce you.
Yeah.
I talk about your work, where they can catch you, like Lopez and all this other good stuff.
And then you go into the interview.
Then we go into the interview.
It's so professional.
It is,
sorta.
Put a little salt on that, because, I mean, yeah, it's professional as one could get as we sit here right now. But before we get started, all Maranzio Vance, everything, if you want to give out your social media, where people can see you.
You want to do it now, you want after?
Huh?
You want to do it now?
You always do it up front.
Okay, well.
Because most people who listen to podcasts.
They looking me up while
they're
doing
looking
it.
They're looking you up.
All right, well, if you feel like being disappointed. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. The name is the same, Maranzio Vance, M-A-R-O-N-Z-I-O, Vance, V as in Victor, A-N-C-E, and that's it. I'm on Snapchat, but I don't use it. I don't know how to use it.
Thank
I don't
you.
Want to use it.
Thank you. I'm done with the Snapchat, because it's phony to me, man. It's like, I like the big three: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Right.
I had an experience. I snapped a picture. I'm just using Instagram or Facebook. I had an experience. This was cool. Blah blah blah. With Snapchat, it's like I had an experience. I couldn't experience because I'm taping this right now.
Right.
For you to see, and in a day it's going to be gone.
I think Instagram is the same too, though. If you think about it, Instagram.
Yeah.
Look. I hate, when I say I hate, emphatically,
okay.
I hate reality TV.
Yeah.
It's demoralizing. It plays on people's insecurities.
Maybe even gullibilities.
It's dumb TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumb TV. If you rush home to watch somebody else's life, your fucking priorities in the wrong order. If you rushing home to see six women argue in a restaurant about who fucked somebody's man.
Yeah. I always had this vibe of, if I'm hanging out with five other people, and every time we go out, it's an argument. I'm never hanging out with these people
ever
again.
Ever.
Because it's always going to come up.
And then, like my mom, it's going to probably bother me when she dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I called her stupid because she watched reality TV. Because she tried, but here's the thing, she tries to have discussions about it. With me.
You can't have that discussion because you don't care.
I say to her, stop. What are you doing? I'm telling you about the show. How many times have I told you? Don't talk to me about reality TV. If you sick, tell me. You took a shit today. I like to hear that. But don't tell me how you sat and watched Love and Hip Hop, Real Housewives of all 17 houses of the shows that's on the air. I don't know how to give a fuck about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we argue about them.
You should.
I hate because also with Instagram and Instagram stories now and Snapchat. It's like reality TV.
Yep.
It's a camera on you. So you're going to act a certain way because a camera is on you.
Right.
You're not going to be real.
Your life of the moment, I guess.
Yeah.
And we're charting that moment like you live this all the time. Honestly, I have made it okay with myself. I am interesting 1 hour a week with this podcast.
Right.
I am interested in an hour a week. If y'all want to tune in, cool. I'm going to take a picture with the person I just talked to.
Right.
And we're going to try it again to be interesting next week.
Have you been consistent with your podcast?
Got to be.
See, I'm not.
I kind of saw that.
You know that.
Yeah, I kind of saw that.
When I first started, I did it from a genuine standpoint of Bill Burr got me wanting to do a podcast. Because Bill Burr was doing podcasts before they were even fucking podcasts. Like, he started out on MySpace.
Yep.
His podcast started on MySpace.
He used to do it from his phone.
It was called G-Spot. It was like...
Yeah, it was him, Bobby Kelly. Now, they used to be on the same show.
Yeah.
And then both of those, they split apart.
Right.
Burr did his own, Kelly did his own, but it was done during the fall.
Right.
Now we are in this world of the podcast boom, but the heavyweights, the people who've been there before, like Burr, Kelly, Marin,
Gervais,
the person who got me started podcasting, Kevin Smith.
Okay.
We talked about where you're performing. You're here at Mark Ridley's in Royal Oak. Right around the corner is the Royal Oak Theater.
Okay.
I know I've told this story on the podcast, but it's my podcast, so we just going to do it.
And I never heard it before.
You never heard about it. So
people, they'd be like, why is he telling this story? Because I want to fucking hear it.
Yeah. So Kevin Smith got me started. He had his Q&A. This is about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm just going as a fanboy because I really like Kevin Smith. So since then.
You like all of Kevin Smith's work?
Oh, yeah.
Everything he's done.
I have some questions with some stuff.
Nope. Do you like all of it?
Yeah. You know what?
Even Jersey Girl.
There are some parts in Jersey Girl. That was my exception.
Girl was necessary? Even Will Smith's cameo in Jersey Girl, was that really necessary?
No, it was not necessary.
How much of a favor do you think Kevin Smith had to be like, please come do this one unnecessary scene where you talk in the lobby?
I think in Jersey Girl, just Jersey Girl, his other stuff stands on his own.
Everything?
Gun ahead. We talking comics too? We talking comics? We talking movies? We talking, what we talking?
Go ahead.
All right.
Go
Jersey
ahead.
Girl, look. Jersey Girl was a low point. The Will Smith part, that was a favor, obviously.
Let me tell you something. I've only seen that movie once, ever.
And
but that unnecessary scene sticks out to me like a fucking sore thumb that I'm like, I cannot not remember that scene. Like, I wanted to see Red State. Some people say Red State.
Red State was good.
Was good. I didn't want to see Cop Out because I had no desire to watch.
All right, Cop Out ain't him.
Huh?
Cop Out, he just directed Cop Out, and the direction of Cop Out came okay, but the story, not all the good stuff.
He still got his name on it.
Okay.
It's still covered in the blood of Smith.
Okay. Okay.
Because I'm Jason Morgan, and I'm a buffoon. And Bruce Willis is like, why am I hanging out with this dumb nigga? Anyway.
All right, but that was why I pushed Cop Out. It's not his, because he actually went and has been, like, very vocal about the trouble.
See Tusk?
I did see Tusk.
What the fuck was that about? Because I didn't even.
Tusk is two things.
Was it good?
Don't go to the theater and see it.
There we go.
Tusk is a treat for the podcasters.
Okay.
So if you are a podcaster, like me, Tusk is not a scary movie.
Okay.
Tusk is like, oh, shit, I do this once a week, every week.
Right.
Oh, my God. That could happen to me type movie.
Right.
That's what got me in the gate. And since I listened to the podcast, his podcast itself.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, crap, I see the little jokes. And so it was like a treat for us.
So here's where I'll probably be a hypocrite in this whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all his movies,
uh-huh,
that I've seen,
okay,
that I like,
okay,
in this order,
we going top to bottom,
okay, Dogma,
okay,
I don't like religion, for one. I know it sounds crazy.
No, it don't.
Black guy from the South, just born and inbred in being
actually, that's more likely to happen.
I have my own issues with organized religion. That's organized religion, especially in America anyway, is a reason why we'll probably end up with somebody like Donald Trump as president.
It's towing the line.
I'm from the South. So people say that's the Bible Belt.
It is.
Apparently Oklahoma is a part of the Bible Belt too, cuz I got into an argument with people in Oklahoma last week about it being the Bible Belt. Organized religion does not allow free thinking. You do not allow yourself to think outside of the box. You do not allow yourself to be a regular human being. You're following the steps of other people. You never really get to live because you're going by the rules that people created because they were afraid of a rattlesnake back during the time where they didn't know what the fuck a snake was, or a bush caught on fire and they were like, well, we got to tell a story about this. Do I think somebody split the water wide open? No, because it hasn't been done again since.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody walk on water? No. Maybe at a fashion show where they put the little glass on the water and you can't see it and these fucking under-eaters walk across or whatever. My mother hates that I'm not into religion. Like, when I say hate it, she like, I'm just pray for you. I said, well, you do that magic over there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to bring me down with you. Because I believe a part of it is like, you're not going to make me pray to somebody I can't see, I never met, I don't know, to help me do something that some people may say he might even want you to do that. That's not what he may not want you to do. That's not what God wants you to do. I'm like, okay, then what do he want me to do? You just gotta wait for him to tell you. So what do I do in the meantime? I'm gonna play video games. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play Call of Duty until the letter come in the mail.
Okay.
Or whatever. So all that said,
I get that.
I like Dogma. Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Okay.
I'm torn between that and Jay and Bob Straight Back.
All right. See, my order is a little different.
Because I haven't seen Clerks.
Really?
I've seen 20 minutes of Clerks. I watched the first 20 minutes of it, and I was like, I'm not here for this.
See, here's why he resonates with me. Not only did he gave me the blessing personally on stage after a rousing game of grab ass, to do a podcast. At the time, I did not know what a podcast was.
Right.
And he magically shows up at every like key event in my life. I don't know why.
He did?
When I proposed, ran into Kevin Smith.
Where?
He was at Somerset, like down the street from us, where we're sitting right now.
Why the fuck is he always out here?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay, go ahead.
At the show, he the one who introduced me what podcasting is.
Okay.
And said I should do a podcast.
Deal.
When I got married, one more time, ran into him. And when I had a kid, one more time, ran into him.
That's crazy. Do he know this?
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Are y'all friends? Like, y'all follow each other on Twitter or something?
We follow each other on social media, but I told him to his face. Like, because I just figure if I go off and do some other shit, he's going to magically appear. So, like, if I do some type of life-changing something, he's going to appear. I was joking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then my wife said she was pregnant. A few weeks later, lo and behold, who do we run into?
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
I've always wanted to work with Kevin Smith. I did a video probably 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a campaign that said, I want to be Kevin Smith's black guy in his movies.
That spot is taken, sir.
Huh?
That spot is taken. Not by me.
Chris Rock did it.
He's done. He's too big to be
Chris
the black guy.
Craig Robinson.
Who's
the black guy then? He doesn't have a designated go-to
I'm
black
trying to
guy.
Think who was in Tusk. Who was in Tusk? It was a black kid. You may have a running for that.
He don't have a designated black guy for his movies. It was.
Because it wasn't one in Red State. It was not a black dude in Red State.
No. That doesn't sound like
you
it would be.
You may have a shot.
It doesn't sound like it would be a black guy.
It's called Red State.
Okay, Johnny Depp is in Tusk.
And Yoga Hosers. That's a new one.
Hold on. Let me see. I'm going to tell you. Bad news.
It wasn't no black guy in Tusk?
No black guy in Tusk. Except you, because you watched it.
Okay, cool. Between me and you, I guess.
Outside of that, there's Justin Long, Johnny Depp.
Haley Joel Osment was in it.
And then a bunch of motherfuckers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no color.
All right, well, Kev, if you listening.
Literally, because like he used to go to a comic book store down the street from where I live. It was called DJ's Universal Comics.
Okay.
And he used to go in there sometimes. But Jay goes in there. Jason still goes in there from time to time.
Okay.
And I always try to go and hang out to bump into Jay, which is very probably tacky and inconsiderate to say, let me try to see if I can bump into Jason, and then he'll introduce me to Kevin.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just maybe that can happen. Or, I know what you just said about social media. I'm not crazy. You know you can just tweet him. And tweet him the video. He's very active on social media. I'm pretty sure
he'll see it.
It's better than just wasting your time and gas trying to meet Jay.
Nah, I get it. Because I've always, I was a fan of Zach and Miri making porno.
Is that video that you said, I hate to cut you off, is that video still up?
Yeah.
Text him the link.
I might do that.
Just text him the link.
I might do it. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I'm not against it.
And tell him if. Well, I'll tell him if I ever have a second kid. I'll just tell him, hey, yeah, you know that tweet you got with Rosio?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll send him the link to this. Like, this
you
is
have questions for me, don't you?
I have some.
Ask me. I feel like there's no structure right now. We're just rambling.
Well, this is the podcast.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
See, because if I'm reading these questions,
we're
in trouble. That means, like.
Oh, we went out. It got boring.
It got boring. We had to bring
it
back.
Okay, I just felt like, all right, I know me. I'm a rambler.
Join the club.
I have my lane where I can be focused on a topic, and then I have my lane where I'm just like, I'm just fucking talking to him.
This is cool. The name of the show is Just Talking. Just Talking with Sam. Hi, I'm Sam. And that's what it is. Like, all right, one thing obligation. Like, we were talking about this a little bit before before we cut these mics on. I said, like, I've been a fan of your career since, a lot of people since Last Comic Standing.
Right.
But from there, I went backwards.
Right.
Now, here's what I know, and you can give me all the real if I'm full of shit at any time.
Nah, tell me, because I don't remember.
Okay. Last Comic Standing. I remember the stint in New York you did.
I hated Last Comic Standing.
You're not the first person.
I hated everything. I didn't want, a lot of people don't know it, but I didn't want to do it. Like, they emailed me and they asked me and they kept asking me, do it. And I was like, I don't want to do it. One, I didn't want to do it because it's reality TV.
Yeah, you made your point pretty clear on that.
Then I kind of like also had this vision of, I want to take the role that my heroes have taken.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Rock never did a reality show.
Right.
Chappelle never did a reality show. Stephen Wright never did a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld, Mitch Hedberg, Patrice O'Neill never did a reality show.
Well,
no.
He was making not a reality show before he passed. You're
talking about Black Phillip show?
No. That's a whole different thing. Remember Patrice O'Neill Coming Soon?
Yeah.
The show Coming Soon?
Yeah.
It was slightly.
It was a web show.
It was
though.
A web show, yeah.
It wasn't a reality
it
show.
It wasn't a reality show.
No.
It's not like how we see reality as now.
That was one of my
best. It was like distorted reality.
That was one of my best friends.
That's one of my favorite comics.
So.
And I met him once before I had a podcast. And he gave me the best advice I can just live. Even to this day, he gave me the best advice.
Don't try?
Nah. He just said, keep doing what you're doing. Now, I know how that's, he says, look, it's not a place for people to do, this is around the Dane Cook, people finding other avenues in the comedy. I'm not a comedian whatsoever.
Right.
I like talking to interesting people. A lot of those happen to be comedians because you guys live
fucked up lives.
Interesting was the word I was going to choose, but all right. But he said, just keep what you're doing. And I used to just journal it. Like, oh, man, I met this guy. This was around the MySpace time where you just wrote your experience.
Right.
And I just wrote, hey, I met Patrice O'Neill. You said this, blah, 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 blah. And at the time, I was dating my girlfriend, who's now my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just hit me with a little side note. Right after that inspirational speech, he was like, hey, man, I know that's your girl and all. You ever eat ass before? I'm like, what? You will. And just walked into his car, and that was the end of it. And does that sound like your friend? does that sound like your friend?
That is classical. hey, buddy.
You ever eat ass before?
Nah. He will.
And he just walked into the car.
When I say that's
never
classic.
Never did he see you from again.
I feature for a lot of people in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've had more fun. I don't think I've learned more. I don't think I've been more of a fan of the person I was working with
mm-hmm.
than when I worked with Patrice. Even though we were friends, I would watch him in awe. Like, I would just sit there and be like, God damn. Like, I'd never seen Patrice bomb, ever. Never seen him have a bad set. And his material is gut-wrenching.
It's hard to hear if you're the guy he's talking to.
Oh, and it's hard to hear if you're the woman he's talking about.
Oh, that's even worse.
So, I feature for Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Titus was cool.
Okay.
Christopher Titus liked me. I feature for Tom Wilson.
I remember something.
Sheryl Underwood. Worst experience of my life.
Really?
The worst people I've ever featured for was Sheryl Underwood and Arnaz J, which was probably the worst. And Eddie Griffin. Eddie Griffin was...
I've never met Eddie.
Eddie Griffin was probably...
Sheryl seemed cool with me, but granted, it wasn't...
She's a character, so she's going to... Hypothetically, the camera is always on, so she's going to do what
okay.
the camera... What, you know, I don't want to get caught doing foul shit.
Okay, I get it.
I featured for Tony Rock. And that's my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the second person I enjoy working with. But Patrice, I don't think there'll never be anybody that... Patrice was an anomaly because he broke the code. He broke the social perception of what a comedian should look like and do.
Right.
Because he was a walk of life. This dude was 300 pounds. 6'5". Mm-hmm. Like, he should have been blocking for the Giants.
Yeah.
But this dude could go on stage, this enormous monstrosity, go on stage, and cast a shadow over the fucking audience. And tell some of the funniest fucking jokes. And you laughed at it because, one, it's true.
Yep.
Two, he laughs at it, so you fucking laugh. Like, you laugh at it, like, you see this big dude laugh, and you're like, I gotta laugh.
It's disarming in a way.
Yes, it's very disarming.
Because it's like, this dude who looks like he can just annihilate me.
Yeah.
Is the biggest clown in here.
Yes. So, don't mind being the fool, don't mind being goofy. Yeah. But it's honest, though. It's honest.
And it makes that ride home very interesting, right? Because I'm driving home at the time, my girlfriend, my wife, I'm like, fuck you mean I'll eat ass? Like, I didn't get a chance to follow up.
It's telling you.
Yeah.
Now you've eaten ass.
I have. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
You have to.
And it was just kind of like, and when I did it, you know, it was weird. The day after, oh, shit, he was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The revelation. Like,
it was just like, oh, shit, he was
right. Patrice O'Neal put that on my life. The best advice Patrice ever gave me, two things he said to me. First time I ever met Patrice was in front of the Laugh Factory in Hollywood on a Sunday. He was going to do Chocolate Sunday, and I walked up to him. Because Kevin Hart used to talk about, this is during the time when I was close with Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart would talk about Patrice all the time and how funny he was and how much of a character he was. And I was, like, looking forward to meeting him.
Right.
Finally, I saw this fucking guard walking down the street. This fucking left tackle walking down the fucking street. And I was like, hey, you're Patrice. He's like, yeah, what's up, but I ain't doing it. I'm Ron Zepin. I know you are. Like, he interrupted me. I know you are. You're funny. I was like, what? Yeah, I saw your shit on BET. Like, I did Comedy. I never wanted to work with BET in any capacity.
Like, why? What happened?
I just don't like BET.
Okay.
I don't like BET because BET could be better.
Oh, of course.
It could be better, and they're not. They could be better, but they don't try. They could be better, but it's just,
it's easy and marketable to follow the crowd.
Like Little Brother. You know Little Brother?
Mm-hmm.
The rap group.
I do know Little Brother.
Okay, so that's my family.
Okay.
They do a song where they talk about how, basically they say, I'm too intimidating for white people, but I'm not black enough for BET.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but BET basically told them.
I know that feeling.
Right? BET told them that they were too smart. That their raps were too fucking smart.
If you're not talking about hoes, the club, or getting money, we can't use you because it the level of credibility. Like,
well, BET is a lie because they say we want to make better TV. You own the network. You can do you what you want to do, but you rather put on.
Because they're so focused on being quote unquote real to the point where you ruin the market. Like, I had this conversation with a good friend of mine a couple weeks ago. We were talking about De La Soul. They just dropped an album.
Best album out.
I love that album.
Right now, best album. Probably the best album I've heard in like 3 years. Easily.
And
easily.
It was such a breath of fresh air because I've been listening to this mumble rap shit. I've been listening to just, I don't know what you're saying. You're not a lyricist.
No.
I listened to De La Soul and it was like new nostalgia.
If that makes
sense?
Very.
It was like,
it was a breath of fresh air.
It was like
a take on nostalgia.
And my take on it was, thank God everyone isn't crazy.
Yep.
And then I went back and watched a little documentary they made on their YouTube page, and they said like how people didn't want to pick them up, or if they wanted to pick them up, it would have been you had to like go by their rules. So they crowdsourced this whole thing.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so good that it's people like me, and I guess in like you, if you digging De La, willing to give money, they
I'm
said
a purist.
They
were,
huh?
I'm a purist.
Okay.
When it comes to hip hop, I'm a purist.
Okay. Just last few people other than De La you don't listen to this week, just whatever.
Who have I listened to this week?
Yeah, just I want to gauge where you are with that.
I gave Nas album is done song a try. So here's the thing with hip hop.
Okay,
I'm 40.
All right.
I used to work in a radio station. Mm-hmm. I'm still probably the only person that still buys CDs. I still buy a CD. I bought the De La Soul CD, like the case.
Well,
the album.
I would want to have that too. Because
not everybody.
Yeah.
But I bought it. I'm from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I support J. Cole.
Okay.
So I bought J. Cole's last album. That album was good.
Yes, it was.
That album was good. So I bought that CD.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem with hip hop. Here's the problem with the issue that we're facing. As I get older, I will become that guy who grew up on hip hop. But hip hop never existed
prior to your generation.
Yeah, prior to my generation.
I see it. I see it now.
You know what I'm saying? So now I'm going to be a 60-year-old guy. Am I really going to be a 60-year-old guy going to see Jay-Z when he's 70?
I would. If he putting out the quality stuff.
No. Jay-Z's not rapping at 70. He's not rapping at 70. It would be.
It would be like one of the greatest hits tours or something.
I mean, it would be a tour of all the shit he did.
Yeah.
But my thing is, at a certain, without I guess, dismissing or, I guess, I don't know the word I'm searching for, but rap is adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
It's very adolescent.
Right.
It's what you grow up on. It's what you, they tell stories of things that you can relate growing up.
Got it.
After a while, you grow out of it because the things that you found important when you were younger no longer mean anything when you get to a certain age.
That makes sense.
Because at 60, I'm not going to be at a rap concert rapping about selling drugs.
Well, think about, like, the old Eminem lyric. I know it's Ghost that a guy from Detroit talks about Eminem.
Yeah.
Let me just get over that. But I'm self-aware enough to know that. But when it comes down to it, he says, I can't talk about being broke no more.
I can't.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
It's true, though.
And
After a certain time,
I have to grow with the music. But this music now, I would prefer, a lot of these mobile rap guys, I would prefer if they not classify their stuff as hip-hop. Do not lump your shit into De La. Do not lump.
No, they don't. They don't recognize the pioneers.
Yeah.
They don't recognize the people that came before them. They don't recognize the people that made it possible for them to be able to do the bullshit that they're able to do right now. But the biggest, I think one of the biggest problems I have is the fact that me as an old head in hip-hop get mad at this new generation of hip-hop. But this new generation of hip-hop doesn't really have a foundation because the rappers that we grew up on sold drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The rappers that we grew up on sold drugs, they killed, they shot people. Like, that was hip-hop for us.
Yes, but
this generation raps about doing drugs. That's what they do.
Well, but you got to take it even a step back. Like, our generation, when we listened to hip-hop growing up, they talked about thugging, killing, stuff like that. And they were, like, weirdly remorseful. Every rapper was like, hey, do not do this, but I had to do that.
Yes. Jay-Z said that Hov did that, so hopefully you wouldn't have to go through that.
Yeah. So now what we're seeing now are people who are doing the shit is like you missed the whole message.
Well, the joke I do, it's a joke that I do on stage.
Yeah.
The joke is the rappers I grew up on sold drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And the drugs that they sold to the women gave birth to the rappers that we have now. So that explains the mumble rap.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking lightweight retarded. They don't have any foundation. They don't have any structure. They grew up in a broken home. They don't know how to dress. Men don't know how to be men anymore.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Men don't.
The skinny jeans.
But it's not even just hip hop. It's just the culture itself.
You know what it is? You know what I blame it on? And my this weird,
I'm about to get hate mail.
Not, hey, join the club.
I'm about to get some serious. But because what I'm about to say is going on.
What's this? That not identifying anything anymore. That fluid shit. That like, I could be this or I could be that.
No.
Or I could be, no. You're a guy who were gay. You slept with a guy? Congratulations. You are gay now. Oh, I'm out of it? Yeah, you were gay that summer. No, we're not going to slide past that.
Here's the problem, man, that I have. I'm all for you doing whatever you want to do.
Right.
Right? Do whatever you want to do. But just know that with that comes a responsibility of you are affecting the order. You are affecting the climate. You are affecting the, you're just affecting the process of life in general. Okay. Because if men don't be men, who's gonna be men? And if women don't be women, who are gonna be women? It's gonna become a point where we're all just one thing. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We all just bleed in each other. And then so you can't talk about the fact that Caitlyn Jenner is a hero because that bitch is not a hero. You're not a hero because you waited until you were 60 to become a woman.
No, okay. I wanna make this plain. We didn't beat this subject to death on this podcast. There's a difference between being brave and being a hero.
Brave is running to the ashes and pulling somebody out of a fire. That's brave.
You did that one act. Brave is what she did, or Caitlyn, or whatever.
Trying to get out of a ticket.
You want to do it. Personally, I think you did it just to beat the case.
Yes.
Personally. Because you killed a guy.
Yes.
So now that's my personal beliefs. But is that brave that you went through all of this to avoid life in jail?
I think maybe. I don't think she did it because of that. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think it's part of it.
Are you a hero? You cannot be a self-appointed
hero.
You're
not a hero. First of all, this is going to sound mean as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But it just is what it is. And I don't sugarcoat. You're not brave because you decided at 60 you wanted to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because you at this age, you've by if you're a woman, if I'm a woman, I'm not embracing Caitlyn Jenner. Because, bitch, I've been a woman all my life. I've been going through it since day one.
And I'm not on the cover of L.
I'm not on the cover of L. Like, I've been sexually harassed. I've been fondled. I've been talked down to. Mm-hmm. I've been cheated on. Like, I have to do stuff to maintain my beauty, my looks, everything. And you just wake up one day and just decide to become a woman, and now everybody's sucking your fucking pussy dick.
Not. Yeah, I was just saying, did you cut it off?
Your pussy dick. Whatever.
If you didn't cut it off, you didn't commit.
Even if you cut off, it's like a phantom. Like, if you cut your dick off, is there like a phantom grip that you go, like,
I would really like to know the answer to that question.
Oh, it's gone. I don't have it anymore. So,
would you still get more than wood? Even, like, phantom wood?
I don't know. I think that area of your body would just get hard.
Like, I got a friend who lost a finger, mm-hmm. right? And he said sometimes when he scratches his head, he can feel the
yeah, you can feel like the
phantom,
like,
limb.
Oh, shit. Because it wants to be a part of it.
Because you're so used to it. So, would you, when you wake up and have morning wood, would you have, like, it's but it's not there?
Well.
Because it's more of a feeling than it is. These are all questions I would like to answer.
Your wife black?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I don't want to be, I don't want to offend you.
Okay.
Nobody. He became a 65-year-old white woman.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He became a 65-year-old white woman that don't have to go through a period. She don't have to go through. He don't have to go through pregnancy. No one's sexually harassing him because nobody wants to fuck a 65-year-old white woman. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody in the history of this planet has ever been like, yo, I want to fuck that 65.
Pam Grier.
White woman.
Sorry. I take that away. Taking it away.
What hot, sexy, 65-year-old white woman is walking this planet? Not one. Stop it.
Yeah.
Not
I'm
one.
I'm trying to break my brain.
Nobody sitting in my head like, yo, I really want to fuck Helen Mirren. Ooh, I want to fuck Sally Fields.
Helen Mirren thing.
I
want to
fuck Glenn Close.
The Helen Mirren thing. Remember, that was going around last year.
You know why people want to fuck Helen Mirren? Because she's a fucking...
I think that's part of more of a story than it is the actual feeling.
It's a story, and it's the fact that people are, oh, this white bitch be talking shit. I like it because she's gutter. Yeah, she'll just say whatever she feel, and she curses.
Because she's a 65-year-old white woman.
That's it. But at the end of the day, no one's seeking after a 65-year-old white woman to fuck. There's nobody that has a poster right now of Meryl Streep on their wall saying, yo, my life goal is to fuck this old ass white woman that's starting to look
so
like Ted Danson.
It's a race between you and the Reaper. You and the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I gotta get there first, or you gonna get there. You good?
Some friends of mine. Now I'm just trying to figure out how to word this because I know it could come off. It's a school teacher in Atlanta right now.
Oh, teacher bae.
Her meme going around.
Yeah.
First of all, it's bullshit. I don't give a fuck about that. I hate social media. Mm-hmm. But they, like, reprimanded her.
What for?
Because women that don't have curves and don't have features are intimidated by women that don't, that do have features.
Hey, take that up with God. That ain't got nothing to do with you.
But that's what it is. So if you a fucking, let's be honest, it's not, white women don't have, rarely do they have.
You get a few every now and then.
Every now, like I said, rarely do you see a curvaceous white woman born in America. Europe has curvaceous women because just all the fucking cross-pollinating. Like, I got a friend. She's Ukrainian. If you threw black paint on her, you would think she was a black girl because her body fucking looks like some Puerto Rican black chick.
You didn't have all that Eastern European stuff running through your family.
But here in America,
that's straight up and down. Rare,
straight up and down, born here in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Unless you have some type of...
What part of Detroit? I mean, you said white women in Detroit.
Is white women in Detroit have asses?
Yeah, we got them. We got those like 5 years ago.
But I like Italian? Because it's got to be something. It's just not fucking...
Yeah. You're not...
It's not pure WASP.
Pure, yeah.
Anglo-Saxon white woman walking around here.
No.
It's not. So if you're that white woman, not only are you intimidated, you're jealous, you're angry because you don't have those features, because you know at the end of the day, the face is going to fall. Mm. You need features. You don't have them. You don't have features. So you're angry about that.
So, yeah, you got to take someone down who ascended. So we on the same playing field.
So I always believe this. Always people always say, this is an angry white woman. White women are angry because after a certain age, they look fade. And they start to look like whatever man they're in a relationship with.
I can see that.
It happens.
I can see that.
It just happens. You start, your looks go, the man becomes unattracted to you or whatever. Now you're angry because he like, a man will be like, look, I'm out. I can't do it no more. I try to pretend that you're attractive. I'm not sexually attracted to you anymore. Like, you don't do it for me anymore. Now you're angry. You're bitter. Mm-hmm. Because, and now you're like, I'm going to take all this money away because my looks faded. Right?
Right.
You got to have kids. If you're a woman, I mean, I think all women feel like they should have children. But if you're a white woman, you got to have children. Because if your man leave you, who going to love you?
The safety net.
The safety net. Your children is the only thing that's going to really love you for you. Because your looks are going to
fade.
They're going to fade.
Well, that just goes with anything. You should just keep doing stuff. If that makes
sense. But that's what it is, though.
I can't do stuff. Like, when I say, like, you looked at it a little bit different.
Because Angela Bassett is 59.
There we go.
Angela Bassett is 59.
You wouldn't have known that had you looked that up.
I would fuck Angela Bassett now. If she walked in the room right now and just did her finger and did and said, come here, I'm going to throw the headphones down and act like I ain't never had a conversation with
you. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to say thumbs up. I'm going to wrap this shit up.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Lopez is coming back for second season. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Michelle Obama is 55. This woman's body is incredible. Mm-hmm. The photo she just did with her and Barack, in essence, her body is amazing. Here's the funny part. These are conversations that people have that they're not supposed to have, but they're had anyway.
You came to the right podcast.
White men like titties.
Okay.
Black men like ass.
Okay.
White men intimidated by a big ass. Some like it.
Some do.
But for the most part, they be like, that's just
but
too much.
But here's why. If I've been brought up my entire life to like this thing, I'm going to like this thing. Whenever you throw something new in there, I don't know. It's an ego thing. It's like, I don't know how to handle a big ass.
Right.
So what do I do?
No, I'm serious.
That's the mindset. And vice versa.
But it changed, though. Remember, it changed because white men used to like asses because back in the 1920s, 1930s, women used to walk around with the big ass
with the little
iron casket,
dust or shit on it.
The iron baskets on the back of their ass to make them look like they had ass. Mm-hmm. And they took the bird cages away.
Oh, easy.
And it became just titties.
Just titties because they made it against the law.
So?
When you make it against the law, I'm going to stop liking that thing immediately.
Yeah. So it's what it is. It's what we like. But Michelle's body is amazing. Angela Bassett is 59 years old. She's amazing. Halle Berry is 50.
That's shocking to me.
And guess what?
Is it?
Halle Berry, no plastic surgery. Angela Bassett, no plastic surgery. Michelle Obama, no plastic surgery. Pam Grier is 63 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I would give it to her right now. Give me that motherfucking worm-infested pussy. Give it to me. I want it. I know it smells like motherfucking black exploitation, but I still want that motherfucking coffee. Give it to me.
Good work.
Give it to me. Pam Grier, 63.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody like, yo.
You know, hold on. What? Here's another one. Thelma from Good Times.
Can't get it.
What's her real name?
Hold on.
Bernadette Stanton.
Bernadette.
Bernadette Stanton.
You ready? You know what? You want to know how old she is?
How old is she?
I'm about to tell you right
now.
Because
I remember reading something about her.
Wait.
And she's somewhere in that camp.
Bernadette, 62 years old.
Yes.
She can't.
Yes.
She can get all the good times she wants. Bernadette is 60. Thelma from Good Times is 62 years old. I would blow her back out emphatically. Leave her for dead. I'd be like, I just killed.
And there you go.
Just killed Thelma from Good Times. She can't even walk anymore. Jack A from 227.
She up there in that realm.
She's 60. Can get it. Ew,
wait, Thelma over. Wait, Thelma is older than Jack A?
I think so. But look, it don't matter.
It don't matter. We've already made that point.
Hold on. Jack A is, with her loud ass. She's 60. She can get it. But I'm just saying, no one's like, ooh, I want to fuck Roseanne.
Well.
Ooh, I want to fuck.
Apparently, everyone who does career ends. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I probably would steer clear of that. I mean, you're a young, up-and-coming comic.
I'm just
I
being honest.
I know. And you being you keeping that 100%.
It's life.
Next, Kevin Smith, black guy. I mean, of course, you wouldn't want no part of Roseanne.
None, dude. But it is what it is, and we live in this world where, you know, that's bullshit that this woman has to, like, dress like a stuffy-ass...
Okay, even if she did...
White lady librarian.
Now, here's the conversation I had. Even if she did, you can't hide that. Because they tried it. They put her in, like, some jeans or something. I was like, it was better.
She put on jeans. That's even better.
It was even better.
Because that monkey is out there.
Yeah.
That fat monkey is protruding. Look like a heart beating her panties.
I forgot what we were talking about before we got on this road.
I don't know what happened. But,
hey, you know what? I'm just going to... This is a hand-fisted segue. I would be remiss if I didn't just talk about Lopez.
Okay.
Because Lopez was actually one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you.
Talk to me.
I found out you was coming here because of Lopez, because last week, Labor Day weekend, I binged out and watched the entire season of Lopez. I just got tired of it sitting on my DVR.
I'm sorry.
No, I dug it because I dug your role in Lopez because you were you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I got to play
you
got, a,
you were you.
A hyper-extended version.
And
on myself for the most, like, honestly, I didn't have to.
It was
to
a
act.
Weird thing because I'm rooting for you because I have followed your career,
right?
And I'm just kind of like, I've seen Enlisted,
right?
And then Enlisted, you were not you, like Enlisted.
No, they made me
like a punk.
Yeah,
I'm looking at you in your face. I hope you're not offended by it.
No,
but that
they
was
made
the
me play. They made me play a
weak.
Yeah,
like the person I'm talking to right now is not the person who was in Enlisted.
Nah. Now, but that's acting, though.
It is. But when I saw Lopez, I'm like, I think that's him.
Yeah.
I mean, the storyline, I don't think you're a motivational speaker. Wait, are you a motivational speaker?
I will be.
Okay. But
because I'm working on a book called Dignity.
Okay.
D-I-C-K-N-I-T-Y. Dignity.
I see it.
And basically, the book is... Sidebar.
Okay.
The best advice Patrice ever gave me. He was like, I'm a fan of your comedy. You're smart. You're funny.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell the joke. Like, just talk. You don't have to be brilliant. He said, stop trying to be brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Just be funny. Just be you.
Right.
Like, you know how you and I talk off stage? Do that on stage. And I was like, all right. And I tried it. Like, we were working together, Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And Fort Lauderdale is where he told me the joke. He didn't do the joke, but he discussed his disdain for his diabetes. Okay. Like, he hated diabetes. We were eating at this restaurant, and he was like, I fucking hate eating because I have to think about everything I eat. I had to think about every meal that I put in my body, mm-hmm. and I'm sick of it. He was angry. Like, he hated diabetes. He loathed diabetes because he couldn't just eat whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
He had to calculate his meals. And it was just too much thought he had to put into it, and he hated it. But that week, when we worked together in Fort Lauderdale, he was like, dude, you funny. Now you funny. Stop taking long-ass pauses. Just fucking do it. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, bet. So I evolved that week and became who I am now. I enjoy myself far more on stage because it used to be very conversational. But it's even more conversational mm-hmm. now because I'm not trying to set you up with a joke. Like, so next joke.
Well, one thing about your comedy that I love, that it's smart, it's quick.
Yeah.
And it's not self-grandiose type, because you are one of few comics who rarely smiles on stage.
I don't like it.
The vibe of it is, I have this mentality, maybe you from the South, I'm from the Midwest. It was like, this is a guy at work.
Yeah.
And since he's at work, I don't smile when I'm at work. I do my job. His job just so happens.
You only smile at work if you
making
work at
me
Walmart.
Smile.
Yeah, you work at Walmart. Yeah, you put stickers on people.
And it's like, it's sharp, it's poignant.
Are you coming out this week?
Huh?
Are you coming out this week?
I will have to show up tonight.
Come out.
Okay.
You should see it.
If I do it, you put me on the spot. I will have to.
You should come see it.
I'm thinking
I'm
about babysitters.
I'm probably gonna do an hour and 20.
I'm thinking about babysitters at this point.
I'm probably going to cut everybody's time.
Okay.
The feature and the host. Because I'm trying to shoot it. I'm going to shoot an hour special either this year.
Okay.
Or the top of next year. But I'm going to shoot an hour special. And I probably won't do another one for like 5 years.
So you're doing the opposite of what everyone's doing now, that got to have a year because everyone's following that Louis. Got to have a year.
Everybody, every comic. And I mean this with the bottom of my heart. Every comic that's rushing to put an hour special out every year can suck my dick. I think this is the stupidest shit in the world. Because they're not good. No one's putting out good hours.
Okay.
No one. No one is putting out good hours because you're rushing the material. Because we don't work on fucking commission. Mm. You don't work on commission. These hours are not thought out. You know how long it takes to write an hour? A year. You know how long it takes to perfect an hour? A year. You know how long you should travel with that hour before you fucking say, I'm done with it? A year.
That's 3 years right there.
You should do it should be 3 years between each fucking special. Okay. You got to go through shit. You got to do shit. You got to experience shit. You just can't be coming up making up. It forces you to go out and do disingenuous shit to create material just to put out.
This goes back to what we were talking about, reality shows.
Yes. Dude, man, look, fuck anybody who's done, with the exception of Bill Burr, with the exception of Jim Jeffries, with the exception of Daniel Tosh, fuck everybody else is special.
Yeah.
Patrice O'Neal, still.
You talking about Elephant in the Room?
Elephant in the Room, still the best special in the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. Hands down, best special, and nobody is fucking with that special on no level. Nobody. Because no one's, other than, I work with Tosh.
Okay.
So I respect his process. Mm-hmm. Because he's not biased. He'll give it to anybody. As far as jokes, he'll give it to women, men, black people, white people, Mexican, whoever. You can get it. Everybody's fair game. I respect it. Jim Jeffries is smart, he's dark, he's thought-provoking, he's in your face, he don't give a fuck. Like, if you don't give a fuck, I applaud, don't give a fuck. But as long as it's smart, don't give a fuck.
I see what you're saying.
Smart don't give a fuck. Like, have something to say. Just this generation of comedy is shit because these motherfuckers think because they said something that they think nobody else would say is brave. Just because you tell it, just because your fuck ass tell a joke or you say something about Trayvon Martin, you brave? No, it wasn't a joke, bitch. You just basically was like, you said something about Trayvon Martin and kept it moving. That's not brave. But when you're a contrarian black guy, meaning you say stuff
and you go against the grain,
you say stuff that white people want to say, but they can't, but you say it for them, they will champion you.
I see your point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They put the any black athlete that said Colin Kaepernick protesting was dumb, that person will work more.
Yeah,
because any comedian that goes on stage and says black lives don't really matter, that is unnecessary, that comic will work more.
Well, I've seen it with Colin Kaepernick. How do you praise Ali and then not Colin Kaepernick? Because Ali did the same thing, and then Colin Kaepernick. Now, I'm looking at Colin. Now, off the field, love him. Get your shit together on the field.
I'm a 49er fan, so you ain't got to fucking tell me.
All right, I'm
deeply rooted, miserable.
Even with that Chip Kelly offense?
Suicide.
Even with that Chip Kelly offense?
Sunday when we play, if we lose, I'll probably commit suicide in this hotel. All
right. Well, can I?
Slip my wrist.
Because I looked at the schedule, I'm like.
We're gone.
Yeah.
But no, it is what it is. But the specials that have been out, trash. And then they doing this whole, and people say I'm wrong for saying this, they doing this whole let's just give females everything. I'm all for equal opportunity.
Right.
But don't just give somebody something because they haven't had it in a long fucking time. A lot of the times you don't get shit because
you didn't do shit.
You didn't do shit to earn shit. Like this female Ghostbusters movie. Get the fuck out of here. I don't wanna see another reboot of a movie with a female cast. Because it's not believable. They're doing a female Ocean's 11. It's not believable.
Whoa.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The female Ghostbusters thing.
No.
Hold on. Hear me out. Just let me weave this all together. Mm. Female Ghostbusters thing.
You can make me go to Flint and drink water.
I can take or leave. I'm just kind of like, I like Ghostbusters. All right. But as a man, I've been on this earth 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a person who's been on this earth 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find 11 females to agree on one thing?
No.
So how in the hell are we going to rob a bank with this Ocean's 11?
I did it as a joke, and women were like, motherfucker. First of all, if everybody dressed like, that's going to be an issue. Why you got my dress on? Bitch, we going to rob a bank. Well, change your outfit. I bought this. Get the fuck out of here. Like I said, the comedy specials, they've been forcing with the female comics. It's a force.
Don't get me wrong. Now, some people are, I love their specials.
Who?
Maria Bamford.
I like Maria Bamford.
Off rip.
If you name a good one, I'll agree to it.
Okay.
I'll agree to it.
We're on the
same page. Okay. Yeah. I say good. Good. Maria Bamford is a murderer. She's one of the funniest women.
And even, what's her thing that, like, when you rush specials, they defeat themselves because they stop being special.
Netflix need to stop saying, they need to just say Netflix original stuff. Because to say people, call a special, Comedy Central shouldn't call these specials they put out specials.
Some people, that when they come out, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're just pumping content, you're quickly going to find the good ones from the bad.
But it's the agents and the managers who are basically saying, look, we need to put out some material so you can stay relevant.
Right.
There's other ways to stay relevant. You ain't got to go out here and force feed us no horseshit ass half act that you put together that you just got satisfied. I had a conversation.
Or you could just go on the road and murder that shit.
Yep.
Look at, I'm using this as an example, Regan, Brian Regan.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Regan is one of the biggest acts, and when you bring up comedy, he's probably sixth on the list.
Mm-hmm.
at best. He's usually in the top 10, but he's sixth on the list because people just plain don't know. Because he's not in your face every 2 seconds with Netflix special.
Also, you got to, like, you got to make people, like, Patrice used to say something that was very, is a very astute point that he made. Social media fucked up comedy in a sense of when you did comedy in the 80s and the 90s, mm-hmm. even the early 2000s, people that came to your show couldn't tell you how they felt about you until you came back the next time. Like, if I did a show.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? If I did a show here this week and somebody don't like me, if this was 1995,
you wouldn't find out.
I wouldn't find out until the next time I came back. Right. Like, I came to your show last time. I just want to let you know. Like, oh, okay. Well, you had a year to sit on that shit. So who's really the piece who's really the petty motherfucker that held on to it? But now, you could be in the middle of your show right now, and a motherfucker can start tweeting, I'm at this show, and this motherfucker is talking about race, and I think it's offensive. And then they start blogging. You know what bloggers are? You know who bloggers are? They're cowards. For the most part, they're cowards. They're mm-hmm. people that live behind their computers. They're the people who fucking could not eat lunch with everybody. They fucking play hacky sack behind the building, mm-hmm. or they ate in the band room by themselves, or they fucking ate in a stall because no one fucking liked them. They were the C students. There's the A students, the B students, and the C students. A students were the popular ones.
Okay.
Ball players, athletes, cute chicks, parents got money.
Right.
Right? Or just some cool motherfucker.
Okay.
Those are A. B students were the students that were cool with the A students.
I would be a B then.
Yeah. So you were cool by association because they were like, hey, man, I know you're not cool like me, but I think you're a cool person, so you're going to be all right. C students, no one gave a fuck about C students. So the C students have took the power back, and they go online, and they just fucking blog. They complain. They bitch. And then all you really need is one person to follow you before you feel like you got power.
And the second they hit that like button,
you like they go validate them. Oh, you validate. Look. The worst thing you can do is give an ugly chick a compliment. Because now you can't tell that she's ugly now. Because somebody was like,
one person, and then she
gonna ride that compliment out the rest of her life.
Like, this is the only thing that I take from Cannabis, the MC. Mm. He made one point before LL destroyed his career with one song. You can't make a living off of this.
No.
This whole, where we're sitting right now and how we're talking, I'm not going to sit here and shit talk all these people because I will do more if I never bring it up.
Yeah.
That person who's at your show and they tweeted that, I don't know. The thing with social media is there's no context in that. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay, so it was cool for me. You laughed at the fat joke. You laughed at the poor joke. Mm-hmm. You laughed at this person ain't got no ass joke. But the second I hit something that's somewhere near you, now my entire thing is funny. Go fuck yourself.
I don't shit talk. I'm honest.
Yeah.
So it'd be different.
If you disagree.
It'd be different if I named names and said, this person ain't shit. I ain't doing that. First of all, I ain't got time because it's too many.
Right.
Second of all, and I never punch my own card. But if I wasn't funny, then I can understand where people have a problem with what I'm saying. But there's no part of me that feels like if you put me on the same stage with any of these motherfuckers, I can't hold my own.
And you should be like that.
Ever. And when I say ever, there's not one person on this planet right now walking that I would say, nah, I can't follow that person. I don't give a fuck who you are.
And you should
be
like
that. You can do an hour in front of me. I'll do 30 behind you, and I'm still going to hold my own. I'll spot you. It's like playing 21. I'll spot you 10 points. I'm still going to make it to 21 before you. Because I'm not rushing it. I'm not doing jokes to get people to like me. I'm just doing jokes. Every joke ain't for everybody. I'm not a people pleaser.
Sometimes you ain't going to be. Because if you please everybody, you the one that's going to be
disappointed. Yeah, you're miserable.
Yeah.
So,
Look, we getting into it. I know this is we didn't hit the hour mark.
How long we talk? We been talking for an hour?
We've been talking for an hour.
I'm bad.
Hey, we good. Hold on.
We can still talk. I don't give a fuck.
We can still talk, but I gotta go pick up my kid.
Oh, you gotta pick your son up.
Yeah.
Where's your son?
Huh?
Where's your son?
He's with mama. Mama gotta go grab him. My mom.
Yeah.
And
how far is that?
That is like 15 minutes.
Oh, no, you ain't gotta do that and come back, man. You got your son. What, you gonna make him sit here? How old is your son?
3.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
You want more?
No, I'm good with him right now. He killing the game. But my whole thing about this podcast, remember at the start of this podcast, I had these notes in front of me.
Right.
Right?
And did you cover anything?
Some. But remember what I said about if I look at these notes? Yeah, go ahead. Right. I don't care.
All right, so I said, Sam, I'm on Sam's podcast right now.
If I said, if I'm looking at that page, me and you been talking this whole time. I said, if I looked at those notes, we in trouble.
Oh, you already had the Maranzio wants to be Kevin Spacey's black guy.
I wanted to touch on that because we were both influenced by Kevin Smith, yeah. All
right, so I started stand-up when I was 15. I went to a...
Dude, you don't have to read the list.
Prom. Okay. No, I'm just saying, I went to a prom with my girlfriend at the time, and they had comedians performing at a comedy club because they wanted people to go to the comedy club instead of going out to drink and party and get hotels and fuck and shit like that. So they were like, hey, come to the comedy club. We got juice and punch. Yeah.
So if we could stop you from fucking, that's pretty much the Bible Belt.
But, yeah, we could stop you from fucking. Everything was good. Fucking and drinking, we good.
Yeah.
So basically, they said, come to the Comedy Zone. And the comics that they had performing for us were trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up on stage. I always wanted to do it.
Okay.
I want to do stand-up from the moment I saw... It's 5 specials that I saw that made me want to do stand-up. Bill Cosby himself.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg's one-woman show she did on Broadway.
Okay.
Stephen Wright did a special in 1985, 86. And I was like, I got to do it. Chris Rock's big-ass jokes, followed by Bring the Pain. Big-ass jokes, he won an ACE Award. That's when they used to give out awards for cable TV.
Right.
And then big-ass jokes.
Bring the Pain, that's the more popular, that's the one that...
Bring the Pain is the best comedy special ever.
I still quote Bring the Pain.
Bring the Pain, I think Bring the Pain is probably the most flawless comedy special ever.
I could go with that.
Ever. It's in my... Chris Rock is my Richard Pryor for this generation, though.
Got it.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So, that special is flawless to me. So, Bill, Whoopi, Stephen Wright, Chris Rock, and then Martin Lawrence half hour special he did for HBO when he did the joke about being the fly and everything. A lot of people a lot of people saw it then, but it's archived now. So that is what got me into it.
You can still pick that up.
It's on HBO streaming.
Right.
You can watch it. So that's what made me want to do stand up.
Okay.
And then Jake Johansson made me want to do stand up.
Really?
Yeah, Jake Johansson was a beast.
I like Jake Johansson.
Jake Johansson, fucking phenomenal. Bob Newhart made me want to do stand up. Jackie Mason made me want to do stand-up. Jackie, I talk like this. I fucking died. I talk like this. I fucking go to the box, and these motherfuckers are standing in the box. Like, that just, that, him just doing that alone, his cadence, his rhythm, that's motherfucker him. Like, whatever. Like, it was just funny to me. Early Ellen DeGeneres made me laugh. Even though Ellen used to bomb, like, professionally bomb. Like, she couldn't get it.
We talking about Mullen Ellen?
Mullet Ellen.
Yeah,
yes.
All right.
Mullet Ellen. So that made me do it, man. And I got on stage at 15, and then I auditioned for Def Comedy Jam. Right at my, I just graduated from high school, and like probably like a week later or two, I auditioned for Def Comedy Jam, and I got booed so bad. I just went to college. I was like, I don't think people deserve to be treated like this. I'm a human being first. You gonna respect me? And they booed the fuck out of me, dude. I mean, they woo. So I went to college, and I started college, and then I did stand-up in college, and I did a talent show, and I bombed because I was so nervous before. I used to get so nervous before my shows that I couldn't eat. I had nervousness, so I couldn't hold anything down.
Right, right.
I shit a lot. My stomach was just like, I can't hold nothing down.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got to push everything out. So that happened, and then I moved to L.A. in 2001. I worked at the radio stations in North Carolina. I did a lot, man. I went through a lot. I've been homeless twice since I've been in L.A., and I vowed I'd never be homeless again. if you're a comic listening to this podcast and you want to do comedy, perfect, build an act where you live first, but don't make your act regional. Meaning, if you live in Detroit, don't do jokes about Detroit, because no one gives a fuck about Detroit when you're in Chicago.
Right.
No one gives a fuck about Detroit when you're in Houston. No one gives a fuck about Detroit when you're in L.A. or New York. Do jokes that everybody will understand.
What's that old saying? Local jokes get you local work.
It did. You will be a local motherfucker, and you'll wonder why I never, ever got out of fucking Detroit, and I work at the radio station, and I can't go anywhere. Because if you get comfortable, here's the other thing. If you get comfortable where you live doing stand-up, you're never going to move. But also, you got to try to make sure you try to get into festivals. You try to make sure you go visit different, like L.A. and New York. But don't move until you're invited. Because L.A. is a party that anybody can go to. But no one's going to talk to you unless you're invited to the party specifically.
I get that.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can be in a party and see a bunch of people. They'll wave and smile at you, but they're not going to talk to you. But if somebody... That's
say,
important.
Yeah, come on over
say,
here.
Hey, come here. I want to introduce you to somebody. Hey, have you met this person? You've seen this person at the party the entire time you've been there. They just have not talked to you because they don't find you important enough to have a conversation with you until someone says, "Have you met this guy?"
Validation.
No.
This is what we talked about earlier. Validation.
Yes, you need validation. So don't move until you are validated. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, LA is not a development city. When I mean development, it's not a place where you should come to try to develop and act.
Right.
Because it's too much competition. It's a showcase city. You don't get long sets. Now, if you want to develop and become a great comic, you take your ass to Chicago or you take your ass to New York and you develop and act. You're going to get the stage time. You're going to get an honest, brutal audience that's not going to fucking hold your hand and pretend that you're funny. L.A. people will laugh even if they don't want to laugh or they just won't say anything.
Because it's polite.
They're trying to... They're bougie and they're jaded because they're like, oh, I've seen Mike Epps before. I've seen T.J. Miller. Like, I've seen better acts. Like, L.A. audiences feel like they're a part of the show.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Half the audience is pursuing something themselves.
Yeah.
So you got people in the audience that want to be actors or directors or producers. They see you doing stand-up, and they'll be like, I can do that too. Or maybe I should do stand-up. Maybe my agent will get me more work if I do stand-up.
Hey, he did that thing. I did that one time.
Yeah. And you think by association, you can do it. So there's a lot. You run into that a lot. So just have your money right. Find your own voice. Don't study somebody to the point where you become that person. Black comics right now want to be
Kevin Hart.
And if they don't want to be Kevin Hart, they're trying to be Hannibal.
You can't. Those two worlds don't cross.
You can't. Hannibal's my friend. You can't do Hannibal. Like, only way you can do Hannibal is like, man, I go to the store one day and then find myself going out there and there's a point I can't understand. I refuse. It's just a sentence.
Yeah.
Hannibal's jokes are sin.
Here's one thing I like seeing Hannibal, and I don't want to deconstruct his act because me and the missus is going to go see him tomorrow.
Right.
One thing about Hannibal is he's arguing with someone you can't see.
Right. That's, I do that, but I don't do it the way he does.
Yeah, not the same way, but.
So you got black kids, all black comics want to be Hannibal, or they want to be mostly Kevin Hart, but you can't be Kevin Hart. You can't be Hannibal. White comics want to be Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and Daniel Tosh. They have more options. White comics have more options to choose from, to bite off of. All white female comics want to be Sarah Silverman.
Or, I can see that.
Or they try to be... Well, white comics have Bill Burr, they have Daniel Tosh, they have Louis C.K., and they have Chris D'Elia / Dane Cook. That's the same particle. They have those trying to be that way. But then you also have female comics that try to perform like male comics. Like their whole shtick is, I wear jeans on stage, I got some Converse, I got a tank top, and I'm just going to get in here and I'm going to bite this chicken leg and get gritty with you. Like, and they try to perform like dudes. And it's like, if I really want to see it, I'll just go see the dude that you're being like.
Makes sense.
So instead of watching Eliza Schlesinger pretend to be Dane Cook, I'll just go see Dane Cook. No shade, but that's how she
I get what you're saying.
She performs like a dude. She's like, in your face.
Well, her, the whole thing is, and I guess we can close on this.
I guess that's shade. I didn't mean to say that it, like that. But
I get what you. I get what you're saying.
I wasn't knocking her, but it's just.
When you have heroes in this business,
yep.
It's hard to leave that influence of the heroes. I'll put myself under the thing. The first couple of podcasts I was in, I sounded like Kevin Smith. I sounded like Opie and Anthony. I sounded like the people who influenced me to.
But then you found your voice.
And then at the time, I was just like, no, I can't keep doing that. Because if I do that, I'm just their clone. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit at the first couple weeks, I'm going to get in my head about this, mm-hmm. and then I'll find my voice, and then we're going to go. Ironically enough, finding my voice is shutting up. That's what it was.
Right.
Hey, I'm an interviewer. I ask a question. Sit in the pocket. Okay, that's cool. I want to jump in on this. Let this person talk.
Yeah.
I was so busy trying to be someone else that people didn't give a fuck about who my guest was because they're like, Sam, you going over your guest, you know?
Yeah, you would talk over
them. Over them trying to be this thing.
Here's my thing to any comic. This goes white, black, Mexican, Armenian, Indian, whatever fucking ethnicity you are in your comic. If you're trying to be like the person that's famous in your ethnicity, why do they need you when they already got that version?
Because you trick yourself, and I can answer this question for a person. I just self-admit it that
yeah.
You trick yourself into thinking you're the new one.
Ah, good stuff.
That's it. Let's close on that. One more time, you want to give out your social media info?
Social media, Marazia Vance. And if you hate anything I said, don't bother to follow me.
I
don't argue with people on social. I do not argue with people on social media. I'm not going to block you, but I'm not going to argue with you. So, you know, if you want to go at it, go at it. look, you need practice for when something
something really happens in life
comes along and you're like, I need to, all right, you can practice with me. Comedy in New York is better than comedy in LA. FYI, I play video games.
Uh-huh.
I'm a video gamer. I have a PlayStation 4. I have an Xbox One. I play Call of Duty religiously. Madden is out, so I'll be playing Madden. I play MLB The Show. I think it's the best baseball game ever made. Before Triple Play came out.
All right, then. Okay, all right.
Triple Play came out.
Okay, all right. Play, I was a Triple Play guy.
Triple Play used to do. No one really paid attention to the announcers in the background.
I did.
But they used to make funny-ass commercials talking about chork. It's not really chicken. It's not really pork.
It's chork.
That was the funniest shit in the world to me. But they would just do funny commentary.
These dumb skits in the middle of the game.
They don't do that anymore, so I missed that. But, yeah, I've had video games. I have a Nintendo. I have a Sega Genesis. I have a GameCube. I have a Dreamcast at the house. I have Xbox 360. I have every arcade system that's come out probably in the past 25 years in my apartment. I do. I play games, dude, and I read comic books. So when I get done with talking to you, I need to tell me what some comic book places are so I can go.
You got it.
I used to work at a comic book store for 2 years.
You got it, man. So I'll end on this. All things, just talk with Sam. Can be found at samshownation.com.
If you want to do this again, we can.
Oh, you are so welcome to come back.
I'm here all until right. Monday, so if you want to do this again,
all right,
let me know.
Here it is. And samshownation.com. See you guys next week.